Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Going home, I'm like, bitch, you can't tell me nothing. Yeah, I suck dick and you go?
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and what a week to have Johnny Sibley on the Gay Ass Podcast. You've seen him on Pose, on the show Hacks, Queer as Folk, a true legend, and someone I've wanted to have on the pod for a long time. Not only do we discuss everything about coming up in Miami and having sexual experiences as a teenager, but we also talk about the Rob Anderson discourse. And if you don't know what that is, he posted about being upset as a single person that he goes to parties and the couples who are open are essentially poaching all of the singles away, and what that means in the gay dating universe. So I had to go into the zeitgeisty conversation of that, but also I'm very excited to tell you that I just got home from my mushroom trip, and it was kind of incredible and cathartic, and I'm actually going to be bringing my friend Charles on the podcast, who is my guide, to talk about the experience, and I am really excited for y'all to hear that. I'm also excited for you to hear this episode, so we're getting straight into it, and I hope you live your bussy bliss. Leave a 5-star review if you have not, and follow along at Gay Ass Podcast on the old Instagram. I love ya. Give me one margarita, I'ma give you some head. Give me one Johnny Sibley. Bitch, I'm gagged dead. It's Johnny Sibley on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Johnny, dreams do come true. Thanks for coming on.
That intro was a dream come true.
I had to gear myself up for it because, you know, like when you press record and then all of a sudden it's lights, camera, action. But for Johnny, I wanted to show up and show out. And I've wanted you on Gay Ass Podcast for a minute, and I'm so thrilled you're here.
Here I am. I'm so happy to be here. I'm very excited.
By the way, it was also exciting to have you on the Gay Ass Live show in June, and we're about to announce the lineup for the September one, and I was going back through the banks, and you represented Sally Field in a way that would make her proud, because let me tell you something. Some people go on the show and like know more than others. You came knowing, and you... Oh,
yeah. When you said, who do you want to... like what? Character actress you want. I mean, there was like a couple that I was like, oh, she's iconic. But when I thought about who really resonated with me, she always like, I was like, I want to do someone I'm actually a huge fan of, you know?
And it showed, because there was a question about what sign she was holding.
Yeah, the union sign.
When you immediately knew the answer to what was on that sign, I just was so impressed. I've had to, I shouldn't admit this, but I've had to slip a couple of contestants a couple answers before the show, just knowing that it's a lot of pressure, but you did not need a single slippage.
Nah. I love me Sally.
I have to admit to you that I watched a movie for the first time that I wasn't going to say publicly, but I feel like there's a safe space with you. I just watched Aaron Brockovich for the first time.
For the first time.
See, this is why I didn't want to say anything, but like...
Well, I actually hate when people do that. just kidding. I don't want you to feel bad because, you know, better late than never, but I'm actually...
It was late.
The reason it's surprising to me is because I feel like that was like a movie that everyone was like talking about at a certain point in time, blah, blah, blah.
They were, and I was like, vacant smile. Not saying anything either way, just like yes.
Yeah, love that girl.
Her, love her, and that water was fucked.
Yeah. You're like, I love Erin Brockovich, but have you heard of, you like completely changed the subject. But have
you, did you know that they're making Dreamgirls into a movie? completely bring something else up.
Yeah. Well, gays have such ADHD that they're always like, oh yeah, that too, you know? Very easy.
Yeah. As long as anytime you feel like you're in a bind about a movie, bring up Death Becomes Her and you're good.
I love a good party trick.
Honestly, I've got a couple and that's one. You not only are a star who performed well in Gay Ass Live Show, but you also just got a gorgeous haircut. Johnny, how long have you gone to this haircut person in your life? Is this a constant for you?
We've been together for, I'd say, like 2-3 years, maybe.
Do you feel comfortable saying where in LA they work, or is it a secret?
He works at Martina Samuel Salon, which is right next to the Equinox. West Hollywood location.
Name drop. do you attend Equinox yourself?
Not that one, because I'd rather eat glass. But I do, yes, I do pay a pretty penny to like go work out.
But you probably, what's your favorite part about the Equinox besides the gym? Besides the equipment?
It is, well, it depends on where you go, but it is nice to window shop. It is nice. I love a towel service situation. I love the weights to be re-racked. I, you know, the Virgo in me likes efficiency.
Virgo as well. Wait, when's your birthday?
September 5th.
And I'm the 21st. Wow. Well, happy early birth.
Yeah, happy early birth to you as well.
Thank you so much. I think I can feel our Virgo-ness. Because when you showed up, I hate to keep bringing this up, but when you showed up to the show.
Yeah.
Right on time with your eye on the prize, I said, this is my sister. Like, this is someone who gets it, and the Virgo-ness is coming through, and it makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to show up on time and, you know, be prepared, because
yeah,
no one is going to be more embarrassed than me if I'm not. You know,
same. But I find that's kind of another relatable thing about you, is that you're honest about some of these deep things, including you did a TikTok filter where it said like you're a chronic people pleaser, and I could tell you were gutted, which same. But who hurt us? Where do we get that from?
Well, you know, after some therapy, I did realize that like when I was a kid, I was the oldest. And when my dad and mom split up, my dad moved out of the house. And then I took on this role of like making sure everything was okay, because I like saw the way that I took my mom. So I immediately, you're put into this position as a child to like make sure everyone around is okay. Is mom happy? So when you're making sure mom is happy and you leave home, everyone is transformed into mom at that point.
Is mom happy? And that's 50 people.
Yeah. You're consistently saying sorry on the subway when someone else bumped into you.
Yes.
You're saying, I'm so sorry, I have to send this food back. I really don't want to, but I, you know, like there's so many things you end up apologizing for. You start taking on other people's like anger and like,
yeah,
it's really just a horrible place to be. And I've tried to learn how to like be like, no.
No is no, and no is okay. Don't you think though that as like the gay son too with the mom, there's an added burden? Because I don't know if it's because we are usually a little more, sorry to the hetero men, but like a little more emotionally intelligent and communicative, and I feel like there's more of that pressure to provide that place of solace for our moms. And I think that also creates that mom dynamic with the rest of the world after you leave home too, because you're like, I've got to be this way for everyone.
I mean, being told as a child by not my mom, but like other family members, like, you're the man of the house. Well, you know, you're the man of the house. I'm like, I don't want to be the fucking man of the house. I want to play with my dinosaurs, or
I want to be the princess of that castle.
Yeah, exactly.
Man of the house.
Played with dinosaurs. That's not what happened.
You wanted to play with dinosaurs, but you were giving the dinosaurs manicures.
Yeah, I was like, yes, wait. They were like doing dips.
A prehistoric death drop. The asteroid comes in. They all do death drops.
That's too funny. Yeah. So, I mean, it really just sets you up for, and especially in dating, that's also another thing. It's like, I've really had to be like, no, this is what I want to do.
Oh my God. That is such a good point, because I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I've been with Matt for a decade. a decade. And the first 2 years, I was people-pleasing my pussy out. I was so worried that I was going to be dumped and that I needed to look out for signs that I wasn't doing enough. And then in therapy one day, I had this, like, I truly don't know the shift. And I think I've talked about this before, but I stopped feeling that way because I realized it was a two-way street and that he was also lucky to be with me. And I immediately was like, whoa, 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 this needs to change. And my therapist said, what happened in your brain? And I was like, I can't tell you what it is, but like, I've realized that if I'm worried about getting dumped all the time, that's giving myself way too little credit. And also he's lucky to be with me. And I wish there was a drug to do that to people, but I still need to do that in a greater sense. But especially in relationships, I think it is important to have the balance of your worth and being able to treat your partner well, while also like communicating your needs and boundaries. It's not fucking easy. It's not easy.
Right. And it's like, it's also being a part of like a team where, you know, they want to be a part of that. Like,
and,
you know, I remember I got into, like, me and my ex-boyfriend got into like an argument, and I was like, well, that's the beginning of the end. I guess this is just where it starts to like unravel. Whoa. And like, we like sat on the bed. It was very dramatic. And he's like, I just want to say, like, I don't want you to think that this is like the end. I want you to realize that like, we're going to have arguments, and the only person I want to have these arguments is with you. And one, I will say that's an emotionally mature man, which I was not used to. And two, it really did help me open up to like, oh, we're having a disagreement right now, but I wasn't already going for the door, or like, you know, like, I suck, this is me, I'm going to be left alone and don't want to not. It's so interesting.
Did that end up being the thing that broke you up?
No, God, no. We actually, I think that's the last time we really fought. Like, we never fought. He's also a Virgo and also a people pleaser, I'd say.
So two Virgos. I've never dated a fellow Virgo, and
I love. I mean, I don't know how, I've only dated one Virgo, and we got along so well.
Are you currently dating someone, or are you single?
No, I'm single. And okay. Like, went from being like, we never fought to it. No, I'm fucking single.
Wait, I'm going to ask you something that I truly was not going to, and it's just, it's in the zeitgeist of our community, and I feel like your take would be very interesting to me. Did you see the Rob Anderson?
Yes.
Single people should stick together, and essentially the couples who are open and fucking other people should let the single people just find each other. Where do you fall on that?
I did respond to Rob because Rob's a friend of mine, and you know, I like to push back a little bit sometimes, because I, you know, I did say to him, there are lots of single men that actually seek out couples in order to, I mean, I'll only speak for myself. Like, when I lived in New York City, there was nothing I liked more than going home with a couple. One, because that was at a point in my life where I was like very fragile. And when I went home with a couple, I felt taken care of. Even though I was like, you know, the special guest, I still felt like there was like some love there. That felt, one, not non-committal, but that my feelings weren't going to be hurt the next morning because I knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Whereas, like, when you hook up with another single person and you're like worried about saying, God, that was so great the next morning, because you don't want them to think that you want to date. Like, there's so much more that goes into it. So I like push back on that as well. But I also said, like, everyone's getting something out of it at the same time. Like, this, I've been the person in the couple that, like, you know, was in a relationship for a while, and, you know, you don't really have that spark. And sometimes it's nice to feel like a brand new pair of shoes, you know, that someone's
100%.
And vice versa, the single person who's probably having a horrible time dating gets to cosplay this nice relationship with you or your partner or both. So there's that. And, you know, cause it felt, at first it read to me as it was like, you know, these poor unsuspecting singles are just roaming the forests, and these don't get me wrong, there are couples out there that are hunters. Like, they are hunters.
Oh, I'm sure. But it felt like it was a little bit of like the poor singles who have no autonomy, and then the villain couples who are casting a net at the parties to make sure not a single person finds love in their life. And I do know that he knows that there is a gray area, but I took a bit of umbrage to the judgment call on the couples of like, you are taking away from others, when really there is, of course, every party has a say in what happens
for their own journey, for sure. I will say I have definitely been of the mindset of like, I've been talking to friends of mine who are in relationships, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's this guy. They're like, oh no, you can't talk to him, I have a crush on him. I'm like, you're literally
no
in a relationship, and no. I need you to fuck off. And like, they're like, yeah, but we're open. I'm like, you can't. And this is what Rob was saying. He's like, you can't have it all, babe.
And that is what I agree with you and Rob. That, yeah, I'm not going to say to my single friend, no, you can't. It's like, honey, I'm legally wed. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad that this political discussion has, I think we...
I love it. I think it's so funny. And all the memes of like...
Oh, yeah. One couple. Yeah. I said to Matt, I was like, do you think one of us is the ugly one? And he goes, probably to someone.
to someone we are. But you know what's funny? I've hooked up with couples where I've been attracted to one more than the other.
Yeah.
And then once it's happened, that shifted. Like, I was attracted to, you know, the whatever. I don't want to say ugly one, because I wouldn't sleep with anyone I didn't find attractive.
Right. You would say the one that you were less attracted to first.
The one that I had less of a pull with. And sometimes that's even like kind of fun, when there's like the one that's really into you, and then there's the one that's like, I guess this is fine. And you're like, wait, but why don't you love me? Like,
I'm going to win you over. I'm going to pop this pussy.
Exactly. But I think it's, I love Rob Anderson being a conversation starter with like couples at home.
He is. And you got to give it to a guy who will post something and run, and then let the internet explode. And it's giving, like, I don't know, gay Carrie Bradshaw of like discourse. So just like, it made me wonder. You know what I'm wondering about, Johnny, is the famous podcast question that I want to ask you, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
If we were to blame someone, it's funny you mentioned Julia Roberts, because I feel like, because I like try and think about this a lot, because I, you know, this question is in the zeitgeist when it comes to gay people. And there's so many people, there's so many things I can remember, like, ooh, yeah, like, what's his name? Chris O'Donnell as Robin in Batman. Mm. He was so. Mm. But I think for me, the like spark was Richard Gere in Pretty Woman.
Oh, Richard Gere has done. Richard Gere. I'm trying to think of a Gere reference, and I don't have enough masculine knowledge to be like, that Gere was up and down, and I pushed it, honey. The gears were aligned.
Full cylinders. Yeah.
The gears were on full cylinders. So Richard Gere, what can you give me the insight into? Was it the sexual energy? Was it, what was it?
I think there was just like a, well, one, my mom thought he was hot, so I was like, okay, whatever mom says is good. But then I watched Pretty Woman. Far younger than I probably should have, to be honest. But, you know, when you're the man of the house, you get to do whatever you want. So we're watching, me, my sister. Oh, my God, this is such a funny story, too. Because it was me, my sister, and my mom were watching Pretty Woman. And there's, like, a sex scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom's like, don't look, which makes us like, well, we're looking. And then my sister goes, because she used to call, like, her vagina a cootie cat. That was, like, the, like, fun, not creepy way of talking about it.
Cootie cat?
I think it was kitty cat, but like they said, she said cootie cat because she couldn't really say it.
Cootie cat.
But she was like, why do I feel thumps in my coochie? And I just remember being like, bitch, I don't want to hear that.
My thumps.
And I was like, what is it? But then I realized like it was his like, he was so relaxed in himself. Mm-hmm. And like, I just loved how well he treated Julia Roberts, and like how he was always reassuring her, and like that scene at the end, like this is what's so funny is that like it wasn't even like his ass or his, you know, I mean,
right.
Beautiful, but that scene at the end where he's waiting at the bottom of the fire escape with the flowers, like my nipples get hard every time because like, you know, when a man is hot, that's one thing, but when a man is hot and thoughtful, that is a whole different.
And when a confident man is hot and thoughtful, it's like, come on now. Because you know what? It takes a real confident man to not only wear pink, which was the thing when we were young, but also to like treat someone right. Yeah. Because they know not only their worth, but their person's worth. And for me, obviously this was not as loud in the zeitgeist, but when Richard Gere was in Shall We Dance?
Oh, with J-Lo.
With J-Lo?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me was like, I watched it over and over, and there was something about his sex appeal in that movie, too, that I'm sure did something for my daddy thing. The gray hair for him has always, 100%. Oh my God.
And like successful and yeah. Like a nice car. I'm like, this is why like guys that I probably shouldn't be into are like hot to me, like straight men that like work in finance. I'm like, you look like Richard Gere, but I know you act like one of the guys from Succession instead. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God. But unfortunately, it's been programmed into us because I still, if I see a guy that looks like he's been to a country club,
you're like, sign me up.
I'm like, my cutie cat is thumping.
Truly.
So then did you through this Richard Gere essence in your mind, did you end up coming out while you were still living at home, or was it a post?
Yeah. I mean, well, I fell in love with a boy when I was like 16. And I remember I'm not very good at like a poker face. So like if I'm doing something, you're probably going to know.
Remind me where you grew up.
In Miami.
Right. So 16 year old.
Yeah.
There's a boy in Miami. What was the boy, the high school jock? Was he a theater kid?
No, he actually lived like a county over, but he was friends with my friends. Mm. And what's funny is that I didn't know this until he told me later on, but like we met on webcam when we were like 16. And we like jerked off together, and because, you know, we didn't like show face or anything.
Do you remember what website it was?
I actually don't. It was one of those like chat roulette.
Wow. Yeah. Sure.
And then I met him with friends, but I didn't know it was him. And he was not out, but like, you know, he like added me on AIM and we started chatting and whatever. And push came to shove, like we hooked up, and it was like, so corny. We were like in a big field and we had like a blanket. It was like the middle of the night because we like both snuck out or whatever. And I called it the Field of Dreams, which he will never let me live down. But
only a 16-year-old newly fucking a gay boy can say Field of Dreams, and that seemed endearing to me. But it is
without any like irony or like.
Yeah.
So like, but then because he wasn't out, I think when he realized like he wanted to do that, I was no longer exciting to him because he wanted to explore more. But at that point, I had been like hooking up with guys for 2 years. So I was kind of like a veteran at that point.
Good for you. So you were like, I mean, you were kind of the type A Virgo that knew what he wanted and then went out and got it.
Yeah. And then so when he was like, oh, I don't think this is for me, but he was like, you know, it was very much like you're just a child, like a child, basically doing what you think love is. So everything was like, my love, babe, blah, blah. And then it was all of a sudden it was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm like, wait, what? I thought we were getting married. You know, like, so.
Did you, in the Field of Dreams, forgive the crassness, but was it full pen?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, wait, not full pen. No, not full pen.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that could have gone penis or penetration. I meant penetration.
I was like, yeah, it was full.
full and then empty.
No, I didn't do penetration until like I was 18, I think.
Legal, yeah.
And with someone my own age, which wasn't always the case. Like, I definitely hooked up with guys that, like, I think about it now and I'm like, that wasn't right.
Because you were 16 and they were fully Richard Gere. Like, what do you think? What do you think is the oldest guy you hooked up with at 16?
Probably like in his 60s.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, no, it was truly like, it was, oh wait, no, I guess I wasn't 16. I think I was 18, but still. Like, I was like the kid at the grocery store. Like, I was the one that put the carts back and like put people's groceries out to the car. And there was like this older guy. And I remember like, he was like attractive for an old man. And he like grabbed his dick or something. And I was like, that's hot. And you know, when you're that age, like everything's a turn on, like the wind can blow and you're like, well,
of course.
And so he's like, what time do you get off for work? And I was like, at 5 p.m. So we like came back and then like parked behind the grocery store where I worked. And I like went in his car and immediately I was like, this is not good. Like, I don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So like, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think he jerked off and came and I was like, okay, bye.
sure. But it's such a layered topic because of course, like, I laugh hearing the age, but also there is a power struggle and a age difference of intellect, but it's also when you're a gay person, I'm not to forgive or minimize what's going on, but I know, like, I was just watching that fucking documentary on, I think it's on Max, which is about the serial killer who was targeting queer men. Last Call. And we just finished it. And like, it is so insane to see how illegal it was and how much the police and the government did not, you know, prioritize queer people. And so like, of course, I'm not saying that it's okay for a really old man to go for an underage person, but you also have to remember like the rules for society were like, it wasn't okay. And so I think it was kind of like survival mode, but I wanted to, as a horny 16-year-old, do all of those things, but I didn't. I mean, like, I think when I was 18 or 19, I ended up, you know, getting my share. But like, when I was closeted in the Midwest, I was like, the AIM conversations, I think, were the furthest I went. Or like, I would do phone chat with older guys. I definitely did that. Yeah. I did phone illegal activity for sure.
Yeah, I definitely did phone. And then when webcam came out, I definitely did that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Adam for Adam. And I remember, it's so funny, I remember, was it Grindr or Adam for Adam? But it was somewhere where, oh no, it was on webcam, because I was like doing that when I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And guys would be like, how old are you? I'm like, 19. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. Why don't you believe me? They're like, you're literally a child. Get off of this thing. And like,
oh, so you looked young.
Yeah. I mean, I look young for my age now. So I can only imagine like when I was that age, like, or so I hear. And also I wasn't like trying to I didn't know how to act older. Like, I just was like, I'll say I'm 19 and they'll believe me. But I remember a lot of guys were like, that's disgusting. Get off of here. And
I'm
like,
just picturing you sucking a lollipop.
19.
I like have like a poster of like Buzz Lightyear in the back. Like,
you're wearing a hat with a spinny top.
But then there were a lot of guys who were like, yeah, you like that. No. And it's funny, as an adult now, like when I've webcam and I see like a fucking child, I'm like, get, and I'm like, throw my laptop. I'm like, this is this guy. How is it?
It's like that. That's a child clip. Have you seen that?
The Biblian bitch. Yes. But it's so weird because like, you don't, when you're that age, you don't really have any kind of like, it's not like you're flirting with your, like the person in school, like everything's very, and that's why I always say like I love things like Heartstopper and like really any queer media, because like, had I had that, I probably wouldn't have put myself in situations where, thankfully, wasn't harmed.
Right.
I could have been. And there are people and, you know, young teens and things that are harmed. And like, that's why it's like, just like, you know, not rationalize, just normalize the fact that we're queer from an early age, just like straight people are straight from an early age.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was just with my family on this family trip, which is rare for us because I have there's four of us siblings total. There's four partners. There's three young children. It's like 13 people. And we did this beach vacation. And I was looking at my three nephews who were like 5, 3 and two. And I was like, statistically speaking, one of you at least is going to have some sort of gay in you. And I can't wait to figure out which one of you it is, but also like how it's different now and how you can express it. And I hope that I get to, you know, like be a part of the normalizing of it for them. But I'm curious for you, if you were, you know, the quote unquote man of the house, you're growing up in Miami, what was it like to not only be out as gay, but like as an adult now, what is your relationship to being in especially like queer media and it being a great part of your professional life? Like, how does it translate to being around the straight members of your family?
I feel so empowered now, versus like when I was a kid, I felt, you know, like the outcast.
Yeah.
I was always told how pretty and sweet and beautiful I was. Like, there was never any doubt that I was special, but like, there was always that, like, well, you know, Johnny, like, da, 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 like, oh, there he is with the women again, or like little comments that now. It's so funny. I like a couple years ago, we had like a group chat with all the cousins, and I like would always be the one to read everybody. Like, and it's like, oh, don't get Johnny mad because he'll like fucking destroy you. And like, I take such pride in that because that's so many years of me boiling under the surface of like, I'm not as cool as you guys. I'm not as normal as you guys. I'm not. And now, you know, even being on TV and, you know, making a name for myself in my own regard. Going home, I'm like, bitch, you can't tell me nothing. Yeah, I suck dick and you don't? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so much. I think because I was so fucking hard-headed when it came to like who I was and what I wanted to do with my life, and it paid off, that there's really like nothing that they could ever say to me that would make me feel
less than or bad. And by the way, what I am interested in is you are a person who can post things on social media that might be trivial to others, but they're just like effortlessly funny and also like not cringy. And the reason I bring this up is because you did a TikTok video that was you lip syncing to this audio, which, and then the caption was you saying in 2016, you're at your restaurant job talking about your social media characters. And the audio was like, no, I own my business.
I have businesses.
Like, you were like, but basically the point of the video is like, you are like a little bit of faking it till you make it of like, no, you're telling people like, I am a boss. I do. But like, clearly you're still like up and coming. So what was the key for you to bridge the gap between not having had the career that you wanted, but like still knowing that you were destined for it? Like, how did you get through that?
You know, when I was a kid, I used to, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time outside because people were mean. So I spent a lot of time indoors watching like E and like Rivers and Behind the Music and all of these like celebrity driven shows, because I was wondering how they got what they wanted, because I knew from an early age, that's what I want. Like, when Barney was on, I was like, Mom, I want to be in that. She's like, no, that's not real. I'm like, no, I want to be one of the kids. I know it's not real.
I want to be on set, Mom, I want to be on set.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew from a very early age. And so I just studied all of that. Like, I remember watching a Behind the Music of Jennifer Lopez and how someone was like, yeah, she always knew. She used to come into dance practice and be like, I'm going to be famous one day. And I was like, yeah, that's the kind of mindset you have to have. It's just, you have to know better than anyone in the room that that's what you're meant for. And so that's how I just went through the world. Like, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't be like, by the way, guys, I'm going to be somebody one day.
But, they're like clear table 42.
Yeah. No, truly. I remember this is a funny story that I tell often because it's great, but that specific restaurant that I worked at, I remember being like, because this is where every famous person used to come in, like every actor, every actress, every musician, every politician would come in and have dinner here. And so I would be like, I can't wait to come back and like have dinner here when like I'm a person of note. And people are like, okay, right, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, do your side work.
Like, until then, could you like bust?
Until then, could you get the ketchup off the bottles?
And, you know, it's, they weren't trying to be dicks about it, but it was like, okay, they just didn't see it. And I always saw it. So it was like, and then like cut to not even 2 or 3 years later, I was doing a show at the time called Pose. And it was like the second season was premiering and the premiere was happening 2 blocks away from that restaurant. And so I was like, I'm going to go in and have a drink before I go to the premiere. So I went back in and I remember the maitre d' was like, you did it. You did it. And I was like, yeah, I did, didn't I?
That gave me full chilies. That is, I have to say, like, what I struggle with sometimes, and I've really worked on it in the past few years, is the idea of self-doubt and worrying about my value equaling my success. Mm-hmm. And I have learned through literally talking to people like you on this podcast is how much of mindset is a part of the journey. And so hearing that, like, you had that inner confidence and like also just like manifesting to be able to go back to have that drink, which, by the way, Pose is such a fucking amazing show. And like, oftentimes we joke on the podcast about like the level of delusion you do need in order to succeed in, of course, entertainment, but in a lot of different really tough industries and really anything. But I think that beyond the delusion is just the like respect for yourself to like take the chance on yourself.
Well, it's also like the question of why not me? Like, why don't I deserve to be in that space? Like, who said I couldn't? You know, like, I always like, I think that's part of the reason growing up in a house that didn't understand me, but loved me regardless and told me I was the best. Mm. Like, I went into the world thinking I'm the best, like I am the best, and like, and not in a self-serving way, but in a way of like, how can I be the best, but also like help people and like be kind and, you know, someone that comes from nothing, like how can I become something and then give back? Like, there's so many ways to think about it that like you know, I think for, especially for a lot of queer people, I'm like, we need more people to be delusional until they're up there. And I've seen not even me, like just so many people that I knew back in like New York when I was young and like in my 20s that are like doing things now that I'm like, oh my God, we like, you know. And then there's people that were like, they would say kind of like nasty things that they didn't realize were kind of nasty. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh my God, babe, how are you? And I'm like, girl, bye. You know what I mean? And these people really, they don't know that they treated you shitty.
Yeah.
Like they don't like, but that stuff stays with you, especially when it's comments on your work. Like when I used to do the character videos, like some people would be like, oh, you're doing those little characters. What are those going to bring?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your little video. Like, oh, you're the one that does the little. And I'm like, and, you know, I know that a lot of people don't mean harm by it. Or like, oh, you're an actor. What restaurant do you work at? I'm like, oh, LOL. We've never heard that one before. It's just the stuff that does stay with you. But also, like, for me, I always metabolize that. And I was like, well, I'm going to fucking show you bitches. Like, that is something I've always had in me, too. It's like, and I actually just had this conversation with myself the other day. I'm like, who are you trying to impress now?
Oh, you know, man.
Because I really I don't feel like I have anyone else to impress. Like, I've already had my moments, like the ex that I took to lunch because they thought my videos were stupid. And now look, you know, or the friend that, like, I've already made those, like, I've already laid those to rest. My parents, when they were like, oh my God, you can die happy because that was a beautiful performance in the show. I'm like, thank you for finally seeing, you know, or not that they didn't see, but like, they just didn't understand the investment of money into it.
Well, listen, I, you know, it's tough to talk about family, I think, because these are people that we owe so much to, and of course, love to the ends of the earth. But I really have been working on with myself and with my therapist with like, how can I coexist in a world with my family who are all people who have always championed me, but are so outside of my lived gay experience.
Right.
And they are so excited, but I still, I think, feel this sense of needing not necessarily the approval, but like the validation that what is going on is not only difficult, but also important and also big and all those things. And I, you know, I am about to do literally, we're recording this right now. It's about 2 p.m. In about 4 hours, I'm doing my second really big mushroom trip. And I am so fucking excited. But I'm bringing this up because one of the things, one of my like intentions I'm going to work on is like, what, who am I trying to impress? And who, and why do I need that validation from others versus from within? And I think what you're describing is very much that of like acknowledging when you feel it from within, how it can empower you moving forward.
Yeah, because I will say, like, there's been so many times where I've like shown people, like I've shown them, like, oh, you were wrong.
Yeah,
and it never feels as good as you think it's going to feel.
But I also think, like, I think sometimes like the success or the good news, I'm learning, like, I will feel the high for a few seconds and be like, oh, but I'm still the same person, and like, that's been an interesting.
Oh yeah, well yeah. Change. Then you go into like, it's the same thing as like, if you're not used to receiving love all the time, like good productive love, when you do receive it or you receive that good news, you're excited because you're receiving it for one, two, three, four times. But then you go into protective mode of like, oh wait, but now I have to like step into doing this, and I have to, am I worthy, am I
yes,
am I all this bullshit that we tell ourselves, because that's what's normal for us, is to doubt and to, you know. But really, I'm always like, push that away, because there's a reason in which you're getting this good news. There's a reason this person has come into your life. Like, everything happens, in my opinion, for a reason. So like, soak it in. And, you know, but you do have to, like, I always say, it's not, you really do have to believe that you deserve good things to happen to you, good career things happen to you, because if you don't, then how is anyone else going to?
100%. And that really resonates with me, because I think there's sometimes the scarcity mindset that comes up about like, wait a minute, do I deserve, it's going to go away tomorrow. Don't even feel happy about it. And it's like, well, actually just be present, babe.
Yeah. And not being like toxically positive about it either. Of like, no, don't think that. I'm like, think the thought. But don't think the thought so much that it becomes the reality. You know what I mean?
Everyone, listen to that. We also need to listen to the answer of your next podcast question. Johnny Sibley, if the world was ending and you could save one character actress, would it be the one we discussed or someone else?
Honestly, I think, yes, I would want to save Sally Field, but I also feel like Sally is kind of like, well, if the world's ending, I'm good to go. Like, if you listen to Sally talk about life, she's like so chill and like, she's like down to go. Like, I'm not saying like I get the vibe that she wants to die, but like,
headline from Johnny Sibley's episode of Gayest Podcast, Sally Field is ready to die.
Loads out, everyone. No, but, you know, I feel like she's lived such a great life that she's, and you know, I don't know, maybe, but I do feel like, let's talk about someone new. I feel like Diane Keaton, I would want to save that national
play. I am waiting for someone on That's a Gay Ass Live show to represent Diane Keaton, because I rewatched Something's Gotta Give recently on a plane. Oh, and
favorite.
One of my absolute, that movie, I haven't fully dived into why it's such a gay film, but like, Diane Keaton, what a gorgeous answer. I mean, First Wives Club, having a lesbian daughter, which, by the way, let's reference Sally Field's gay son. I mean, I think that also helps her, that also helps kind of our love for her. But is there a Diane Keaton number one film, or is it hard for you to choose?
Well, okay, so I love First Wives Club, obviously, but like, when I'm feeling like, I just put it on the other day, I watched Something's Gotta Give, like, whenever I'm feeling like emotional about like where I am in relationship and like, or without relationship, I put on movies that inspire me like to love more. And so like, my favorite movie of all time is Sleepless in Seattle. Something's Gotta Give is always one that I pop in, because one, it's about older people. And like, sometimes when it comes to relationship, it feels like there's a clock.
Yeah.
And like, at one point you won't be lovable anymore. I think that's partly why it's a gay film, is because that's something that especially young gay men like struggle with, is like the idea that at one point they won't be viable or worthy. And again, that's not true, but it's just something that, and that's what goes on in the film. It's like, she's you know, she's got her daughter, she's divorced, like, but she wants love, and it comes in the form of this fucking guy that she would never assume. Yeah. And it's just such a special film, and like all the turtlenecks and the white cardigans and the walks on the beach.
I mean, there's something to be said for the Nancy Meyers cinematic universe. That is what I want to manifest. My delusion is Honey, a Huge Island.
Yeah, he's like, I want to be in a Marvel film. I'm like, I want to be part of the Nancy Meyers Avengers, bitch.
Bitch. And by the way, if I may make one thing very clear, I want the Nancy Meyers life and career, but also my island cannot be so big that I can't reach across from it. I do not stand for islands that are literal islands. Like, it's not, if that's just one thing I want to make, if we are manifesting specifically, I would like an island, but I don't want it to be so big that, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I get that totally. I mean, I was just in P-Town for the 4th of July, and I was like, I need to buy a house here because this is what I want to finish up.
I was following along because dear friend of ours, Nick Norsha, was there with you. Also, a friend of the pod, Ian Padgett. But I wrote down this question. Where are you a bigger slut, East Coast or West?
Oh, my God. Absolutely the East Coast. Mm-hmm. The East Coast is where I really have gotten my full life and potential in terms of sex, like, especially in, like, the northern hemisphere of the East Coast, like New York. Like, I know that I'm always going to have sex when I go to New York because the boys in New York do not play around when it comes to sex. Like,
yes.
No one has time. Like, no one has time to fuck around and, like, take their time. Like, they say what they want, they get it, and I love that about them because
they say get in, get off, get out.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's just such a, it's just in the air there for in a different way, and I think it's because of the East Coast is just much more of a, like, let's get this done coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the West Coast is like, let's, like, chill vibes.
Did you get laid in P-Town?
Mm-hmm. I actually did things in P-Town that I would have never assumed I'd do. Like, I went to a sex party, which I was like, you know, 3 years ago, I would have been like, I would never, you know.
Clutch the pearls.
Like, the older I get, the more I'm like, wait, why did I think that? Like, what? Who am I trying to, again, impress? Who am I trying to, you know... Like, it's like one of those things, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
I want to get to the end of my life not worrying about, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Follow the rule book that we don't know who wrote it?
Have you seen that video of the guy who talks about being passed around at the bathhouse?
Yes, I saw that.
And I'm just like, what a king. Like, truly just like those were the days. And I'm just like, I want to think about life like those were the days, not like.
And we can say that these are the days.
These are the days.
So then did the sex party go to your liking? How was it?
Well, I didn't have sex there, but I definitely watched, you know, some Live in Living Color. And I was like, okay, this is an experience that I've had. And, like, you know, not in a way that's like, I would never do that again. But I did think to myself, like, oh, okay, this is a way to have sex.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so pro everything that was going on. I was like, I just love that everyone's so free here. And, like, people are naked and people are, you know, doing this, that, and the other. But even just being in P-Town, and there was, like, this energy of, like, you're attracted to people, but it doesn't feel like a desperation. It feels like people actually do want to get to know you.
Yes.
You know, it was.
And it's also, I think, what I love about that experience, and I've been having some similar Ike love, as I call it, which is that, like, it's about the connection, and it's like there, it takes away the desperation and the any sense of doing it because you're forced to do anything. It's all about just following your fucking bliss, and that to me is like, and without the shame, and that to me is like really radical.
Oh yeah, and I mean also like following your pussy bliss, like it is just like. Because when you're at home, it's a little different because it's like, oh, you've worked through the week and like, oh, we're going out. I hope I fucking get laid because I need it. Like, whereas like on vacation, you're already like, you're watching drag shows in P-Town, you're going to cute dinners, and you're riding your bike, which feels so like different. And then you like see a hot guy and you strike up a conversation. You're like, wait, this is the vibe. Like, you know,
this is the vibe. Fuck. I still haven't been to P-Town, and it's on the list.
I think every queer person should go because it's very queer friendly, you know, and I feel like it really breeds like people that have more of an open mind.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like an island town, but without being an island. It's just really nice. I highly recommend it.
Great fucking pitch. Well, Johnny, you have been and will continue to be an angel on this earth and such a great fucking guest. And before we say goodbye, I'm going to ask you the final question I did not prep you on, which is, Johnny, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. It's got to be Sister Act. Her star vehicle, like, she just really ate up everything about that.
Yeah. Not a single crumb left behind by Sister Dolores Van Cartier. And Johnny, that is a full yes, agree, slay king. Johnny, thank you again. And where can people follow you?
Oh, people can follow me on all social media platforms just using my first and last name, Johnny Sibley, which I thought about when I was younger. And I was like, I'm just going to keep it my name because one day it'll just be my name. So find me there. I'll be there.
Thank you so much for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you want to see a live show, your wishes might come. And the tickets are going on sale for the LA show for September 14th soon. And right before that, we're announcing the New York date and lineup. So keep your eyes peeled for the Gay Ass Podcast Instagram and my Instagram at Eric Wills. I'll see you next week.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.